CliffCentral.com.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agents. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So fuck that.
G-G-G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? It's your man, G-Man, the ad man. And we're here once again. It's a Wednesday. We're hanging out. It has been another amazing week of advertising. It's been some crazy stuff happened. That story that you and I have been following, Amatili started yesterday at FCB. So shout out Amatili. I hope that you're having a great time out there. It's been a crazy week. This morning there was that amazing march that was planned for this morning, but you know, somebody interrupted that when they came out and just, you know, did an about turn, pulled them their charges, and you know, it's amazing for me. You know, I always try to bring it back, as you know, into the land of branding, and what do we think that has done for the brand NPA? You know, people have come out and said, you know, it feels like Sean Abrams, you must just do the honorable thing, like Mushine Tugas spoke about doing yesterday, and just resign, bruv. Because, you know, the integrity of the entire organization has just been brought into question now. The entire brand that we've come to know as essentially the people's protection or the people's kind of form of justice has been compromised by the fact that there's just been all this political influence into it. Now, I don't want to get into things like, you know, political influence or stuff like that, but I think it's safe to say that the brand NPA has been compromised completely, and I mean, I think we've all seen that happen to other brands, to other more commercial brands, where all it takes is one bad move, and essentially nobody feels like they can trust you anymore, and it feels like it's okay. It feels like I can forgive that with commercial brands, but when it comes to people who are supposed to, you know, make sure that I either walk or I go and do 20 years of hard labor. Of high time, then no. Somebody needs to account for that brand staying on top. So yeah, I just think that brand is suffering right now. But hopefully somebody with the sensibility will step in and actually try and save that brand. But speaking of which, in a slightly linked way, there was an amazing thing that's happened this morning again. There's this new brand, Save South Africa. Because, you know, people are worried about, you know, about the economy and all the bullshit that's going down and whether we'll be able to make it out of that. So instead of people going to that march, they gathered today and they met up somewhere and there were prayers, you know, and you know, and the people are talking about how they're going to change things around and all that. And I think it's an amazing initiative because I feel like it's one of those things that, you know, is it one of those things that are going to be purpose-built for this particular thing? Or are we going to, is Save SA going to be a thing now going forward? You know, every time something stupid happens, Save SA is going to gather and they're going to say, you know, let's save South Africa because the Bafana Bafana are playing shit. So let's gather and have a prayer meeting for Bafana Bafana. You know what I mean? Transformation in advertising or in rugby kind of feels like the same thing. Yeah, let's gather and let's have a prayer meeting and gather about that. So are we seeing the birth of a brand new voice? Of a brand new brand of speaking of a way of speaking about South African issues and actually just intervening? And then does that mean that we're compromising how democracy actually works? You know, because, you know, it was one of those things where you've made the call, democracies, you've chosen somebody to be in charge and whatever. And then when we feel like they're fucking up, we are going to go in there and we're going to intervene and we're going to change the rules. And then we're going to come out there and say, let's change the rules. Let's pull this guy out because he's fucking up. But I guess that's also how democracy works, right? But I just think that we need to be careful how we treat things like these going forward. I'm not saying this is a bad thing. In fact, I admire what it is. I just think that let's be careful of how we address these things going forward. But let's not digress into things that have nothing to do with us or advertising. We are here today, it's a somber day for me and other fellow Buccaneers out there. Yeah, there was a threshing yesterday. You know, and it started so well. You know, just like many other things, it started so well. You know, he scored one goal, halftime. I saw the guys huddle, you know, in the rain. And they're like, you know, good, we're doing well. And then the second half, you know, the Super Sport. You know, and you know, and I bring this back to the branding thing because I get the feeling that the guys at Super Sport, the TV channel, they had something to do with this. You know, somebody must have said the numbers need for Super Sport to be doing well, you know. And Mushin was told to just do the wrong thing, and the players were told to do the wrong thing. So Orlando Pirates got 6-1 yesterday, and it involved even missing a penalty at some point. You know when it's bad, you know. So all I want to say, Mr. Mushin Etchukral, listen, enough. Yeah, enough. Thank you. Anyway, I've got a dope show for you today. If you've been following me on Facebook or if you've been following me on Twitter, you'll know that I've got a fantastic guest with me today. In fact, if you own a television and that still tunes to SABC One, you also might have bumped into his mug on your TV in the past 48 or so hours. A guy who's doing some great work, whose journey actually, you know, stems from where a lot of us kind of started. But I'm gonna let him explain all this stuff to you. But it's a great honor. It's a great honor to have somebody who's doing big things up in here in the studio with us. Just like pretty much every one of the guests that have been in here. But you know, there's something kind of urgent about the big things that this man is doing right now that's in the studio. So, guys, welcome to the studio today, Mr. George Macheke.
Good morning.
What's going on, George? What's going on? What's in your throat? Good morning. What's going on?
I don't know.
What you guys don't know is that George is also in shorts. He says he ran here. Talk about a fucking overachiever. He says he ran here. Because you know that's just what he does. You know. So when you're in charge and you run your own things, you can run during the day. You know, you run everything. You run Joe's, you run the streets, run Marvin. You know what I mean? George, what's going on, man? What's up? What's going on with you?
I'm easy, my man. I'm easy.
Yeah. What are you up to? You know, outside of us bringing you out of your house running. Yeah. What did we get you? What did we pull you out of? You know what I mean? What projects are you up to right now?
There's a lot that's happening. Obviously, yeah, I did run here. And I like running, man. You gotta keep your mind right.
Listen to me. I ran here.
Yeah, I know. No, you have to keep your mind focused, you know, and you get, because like we deal with a lot of stress, especially when you're running your own thing.
That's right. That's
you're dealing with putting out a lot of fires, you know. Planning for the future, payments, yeah. You know, debit orders.
Yeah, if you follow George on any social media, you know that hey, debit orders are the pain of this man's existence. In fact, but this man recognizes that debit orders are the pain of all our existence. Really.
But can I tell you where it comes from?
Yeah, yeah.
As an entrepreneur, right?
Yeah.
It hurts my feelings when money leaves my account because I don't have, it's not like I have a job where it's guaranteed that I'm going to get paid.
That's right.
I have to work twice as hard and forecast with regards to money.
Yeah.
So when 2 rand leaves my account, I'm like, yo, I need to find 4 rands just to replace the 2 rand. So I did that on purpose as well because I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs, especially on social media, don't talk about these things.
That's right.
You go broke, and it's being an entrepreneur is not as glamorous as everybody.
No,
it's not, you know.
Yeah.
Because the young ones who want to come in, they want to think, "Boy, I'm going to do this thing for 6 months, then I'm going to be balling."
Yeah.
You could be doing this thing for a year and a half.
Wasn't that baller, boy?
Wasn't that even some anything coming in?
Yeah.
So I do it so that people are aware
that
as much as I might be on TV, radio, doing this movie, there's. These are my struggles to stuff, to make sure that I pay the rent for the office.
That's
you know?
Dope.
And
that's
all
dope.
Of those
I
things.
Like that.
Be real. Don't say. Don't only post pictures when you are having fun. And at Vuzu, or when you're driving a Jaguar, whatever it is, you know, don't do that.
That's like, dope. I think I always say that the most glamorous part about entrepreneurship is just how slightly French that word is. That's about the only glamour that exists there.
Dude.
Entrepreneurship.
That's
you know what
it.
I mean? And you go to seminars. That's it. But other than that, my man, there's toil in this thing.
It is quite intense because the thing is, you're building, especially for us, you know, my business partner now, Legend. We're building
something. Shout out, Legend. What's going on?
What's up? We're building something that hasn't been done before.
Yeah.
Therefore, it means that we don't have a blueprint of what we're doing. So what we have as a blueprint is in our heads.
Yeah.
No one has seen it work. No one has proved that it works.
Yeah.
And the only thing that we have is our faith, our determination that this thing has to work.
That's right.
And for you're going against the grain.
Yeah.
And nobody, a lot of people don't want to bet on that most
that's
of the
right,
time.
That's right.
They always want to bet on it when they see it working.
Yeah.
You know,
once the path has been carved.
Yeah. Once a path has been carved.
Yeah.
And but they don't understand that for us to build that pavement is hard work. You know,
it's tough.
You have to do it out of your own pocket. You have to buy the cement out of your own pocket. You have to buy the bricks out of your own pocket.
And make sure that you're buying good cement, good bricks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just
so you know, you're also not building something that's gonna.
No. You have to buy good quality, and that is expensive. And you gotta have it take it out of your own pocket. And only when they see that there's something happening there.
Yeah.
A lot of people, that's when they start to jump.
That's right. In fact, let's leave the land of metaphors.
Yeah.
Tell us, George, what exactly is it for those of us out there who don't know what exactly is it that you're up to? What are you up to, man? Because I know you're up to a few things.
Yeah.
What is on your plate right now?
So we're running Marvin. Marvin is a man's magazine.
That's what's up.
Marvin is a friend of mine.
He was a friend of mine.
So it's been around for it's turning two in Jan.
Oh, that's what's up, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool, man. That's good work. Good work.
Yeah,
that's...
so we pushing, and it's growing so nicely, so organically.
Yeah.
We have a lot of entities under Marvin that we're building.
Right.
We have a radio slot. We have a scholarship foundation where we're taking a young girl to school. To study animation from Alex.
Dope.
What also?
There's Marvin's room.
There's Marvin's room that happens on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
And we've done one in Durban.
Yeah.
I think we'll do one before the end of the year in Cape Town.
And I mean, you say that Marvin is a men's magazine, but I think that's kind of simplifying the point. You know, like if you were to actually kind of define what you think Marvin is, because I mean, we've had conversations about it, and you know, like how it's beyond just what the tactile nature of what a men's magazine is. How would you break it down?
It's a voice for black men.
That's right.
That's what it is.
Okay.
And because I don't think black men have a voice.
Yeah.
They're not heard.
Right.
And thing is, black men are part of society. And the thing
a
is
a huge part.
A huge part. And the thing is, most of the things either we influence it like intensively.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Because
that's
the guy who you're going to want protection from.
Yeah.
And that's the guy who holds the gate to patriarchism, you know, or and abuse and all of those things. You know what I mean? So these are the guys that we as men need to talk to and say, don't do that because that's not cool.
Ah.
Because you hitting her, this is what it does. These are the effects.
Yeah.
This is
the ripple effect of everything that you do,
what you do. And the thing is, if we don't speak to men, and we don't teach men how to be men, then what are we gonna end up having?
Sure.
You know, we're gonna end up in a community where men don't know how to be men. They don't know what it is. They have never seen it before.
That's right.
You know, and also like then that guy doesn't know how to become a man. Like I'm the man that I am because of my father. Because I saw him being a man.
Got you.
You
got
know
you.
How he treated my mother.
Yeah.
He was there till the end.
Yeah.
So therefore, that's also what I want.
Yeah.
But imagine someone who doesn't know what that looks like.
Yeah.
They're gonna create. They're gonna have baby mamas all over the place because they don't know.
Yeah.
They to them they think that's being a man.
Yeah.
But that's not being
shit,
a man.
Dude.
So that's it's a critical voice to have.
It's very critical. It sounds it sounds like it's a very important conversation.
That
pretty much has to kind of go through to every corner of this country. And do you find that you're having? I mean, you said that you have Marvin events.
Yeah.
You had one in Durban and whatever.
Yeah.
Do you find that it's getting like pervasive and it's getting into all parts of SA or a lot of SA?
Here's the thing. The conversations that we have on Marvin are uncomfortable.
Okay.
That's what you need to understand.
Got you.
But these are the conversations that we need to have.
So not necessarily everyone's going to be one of your part of
no,
uncomfortable
like,
conversations.
Yeah, no, I've heard people like, yo, I had to unfollow you. I know.
Really?
We're rough. Like you guys are too real.
Yeah.
You know, and we understand that because I'm sure like Marvin is not for everyone.
Yeah.
You know? But the thing is, these are the conversations that need to be had so that we can move forward. We can't pretend that we all like each other. Then when we leave the room, we're like, fuck, grand die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
We have to put...
Let's thrash it out. Let's thrash it out.
And it's quite uncomfortable to tell a woman that you actually, as much as you think you are amazing, you're actually a shitty girlfriend.
Boom, done.
Do you get what I mean?
Guys,
and it's hard.
George, guys, boom, man.
But the thing is, it's hard for her also to hear that.
That's
because,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also, there was a conversation we're having on my slot, and we were saying that it's hard for women to think that they're part of abuse.
Right.
Because everybody thinks that abuse is just physical.
That's right.
But there's the emotional part that nobody speaks about.
Ah,
you know what I mean?
Okay.
Because, like, there's no words that would cut you like a woman's words.
When she swears at you, she swears
it's tailored for you. when we say it generally. You know, when she says it for you, she'll bring in like your mother is a what one.
Yeah,
it's designed for you, and that there are ripple effects for that. You know what I mean? So these conversations need to be had so that. I can say I'm wrong at this and you are wrong at that. How do we rebuild ourselves? Because we did not get here on our own.
That's right. You know what I mean?
There's a huge history behind us, you know?
Sure.
So
the streets of Marvin sound rough, man.
No.
They sound really, really rough. And I mean, I know that it lives on the online platform.
Yeah.
You know, because of what you know, the conversations we all know about the print media going through some weird things. And how is that? How have advertisers come on board yet? How have advertisers responded to that completely different tone to what everything that's out there?
Advertisers don't see us coming.
Oh,
advertisers
yeah?
come to us with their plan of how to talk to our people. We tell them no.
No, that's not
We've it. Told so many brands like, nah, it's okay.
But is that because they come through with... Because that's also the nature of what we do, right? The nature of advertising is we've got this beautiful brand plan, and then we think, okay, we know how we're going to talk to this kind of this part of the market and that part of the market. And is it the fact that they the kind of work that they're giving you is not necessarily tailored at where you think we want to go as a people?
Yeah.
It's not necessarily tailored for what you represent?
Yeah, it's not what we... It's not what Marvin is about. It's not what we are about.
Like so what, so? Like what kind of work is it that will make you go, aye, my man, leave us alone?
Actually, even Glenfiddich, when they came to us in the beginning, they had their plan that they did something at 10 and 5. Then
right.
they wanted to duplicate that and do it with that. We're like, no,
you can't do this cookie cutter approach.
Yeah, no, we can't.
Yeah.
And then they came back. They're like, okay, cool. How do you want it? We're like,
this is
how do we want it? And we did it that way. And I think for us, from our side, it was quite a success because like that's how Marvin's Room started.
That's right.
It's still even today still remind them of it's a Glenfiddich thing. Even though it was just for the first 3 months.
Gotcha.
You know.
Gotcha.
So a lot of brands are now starting to come to us. They're like, oh, okay, cool. Let's try it out because not a lot of brands have tried it out, you know. But we know our people. We know what they want. We know what they like.
Sure.
We know the tone because the writers. Because we have our own writers, photographers.
Yeah.
We know what we like.
That's
so
right.
You come with the brief. You don't come with what you already done.
Yeah.
You come with the brief and we execute it.
That is amazing because you see, for me that's a very, very interesting conversation because it feels like what you're talking about is another model completely as well.
Yeah, it is
of approaching advertising because. You know, what happens normally is that, you know, that's why we are referred to as agencies. We are the go-between between the media house and the owner, the advertiser themselves.
Yeah.
And now that it feels like what you're saying is taking the agency guy out and going, maybe I know my market. Maybe I can tell you how to advertise to the people I speak to.
You know what's interesting? Because obviously you know that my background is advertising.
That's right.
So what I did, I took publication and advertising and put it in one.
Got you.
Do you get what I mean?
Got
so
you.
Basically, you come with the brief.
Yeah.
And we execute that brief and we put it on our own platform.
Boom, town.
You know what
Boom.
I mean?
That's the shit.
So you owning that line from beginning to end.
Yeah,
you owning.
That's amazing because for me it also sounds like you're saying that that's how you lead the conversation to stop having black people dancing on TV.
Because
if the media owner themselves takes responsibility for what they think they want to show people, then they just kind of go, no man, I'm not putting that ad on TV.
No.
Just like how, I mean, I'll take a step back. What you heard earlier was Babes with Tumo and with a beautiful song Mercedes. And just like how the SABC were able to say, we feel like we cannot play that song on our radio station for this and this reason.
Yeah.
Why is it then that we have not had conversations about media people saying, I'm not going to put that in my publication because I think it's saying the wrong shit to black people. Yeah. It's saying the wrong shit to women. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At which I feel like this is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a new thing. Like I said before, that it's a new thing. It hasn't been done before, and we obviously are testing it out. Yeah. But like for us, it's working.
You must freak advertisers out though.
No, I'm sure we, like Joe, we threaten everyone. We threaten everyone.
That's what's up.
And I'm not going to even mince my word. We do threaten everyone, like from magazines to advertisers, because they don't know, they confirm. They don't know who we are, where we come from. We're just out of the blue. And everybody's talking about us. It's like, dude, have you seen what Marvin did?
Yeah.
Marvin did that. And you're like, where do they get the money? Do they have a tender? Do they have a rich uncle? And we're just boys and
blessings.
Yeah. We're just hustling guys who just are trying to make this thing work.
That's right.
You know what I mean? We're putting a lot of this thing out of our own money.
Yeah.
Because I remember when we had the billboards, everybody, like, I think that for us put us on a different level.
Yeah. Everyone so thought
no, these guys, and like, even from on that, like you grow as a person and as a brand, you know. You start speaking, like the stuff that we do with Handley Business, we travel to Botswana to speak.
That's right.
Doing a lot of things.
Shout out to my Botswana Massive.
What's going on?
In fact, speaking of Botswana Massive, I've actually just been invited to come and judge the award show out there. I'm gonna be out there in a couple of weeks.
Botswana's awesome.
Go see my peoples once again. Go see my peoples. So shout out the Sekai Awards out in Botswana. Yeah. So that's amazing, George. I think. You I read somewhere that you have some kind of understanding with the other publishing house with Kanye.
Yeah.
And what is that deal? What how do they facilitate, or do they facilitate what you do? What's the understanding there?
Born, like we, like I look up to Kanye like ever since.
Shout out to Kanye. Just putting it out there.
I look up to Kanye like from way back, you know what I mean? Because of what she's done for media, for magazines, you know. She's probably one of those who have made us believe that we can own magazines.
Yeah, that it's all kinds of possible.
And it's possible, you know. And there's always, you always wanna, we are the young ones who look up to Kanye and Ndalo Media, you know, and those who are doing it, you know. So we are always there, you know, when we invited, we are always there like, oh my God, like, thank you. Because we are just humble just to be in her presence, you know.
Okay.
And
so is that her capacity? Is she like in a mentorship capacity or does Ndalo Media, does Marvin fall under Ndalo Media?
No.
Okay. So break it down.
No. Like, Bona, we own Marvin 100%.
Okay.
No
cool.
one, we don't fall under anyone.
Yeah.
We control what we say, how we say, when we say it.
Sure.
We obviously have people that support us like what we do, like your Power FM.
Yes. Shout out Andy Lekumalo. What's going on,
Mr. Andy?
That's
my dog. That's my dog. There, you know.
In fact, the first time I went to Botswana, I hung out with him out there. That was the first time I actually got to meet him.
Yeah.
Great guy. He's a
guy that I call and I'm like, yo, this is what's happening. What is this entrepreneurship? What's going on? You're like, no, don't do that. Don't be silly. Do that.
Calm yourself down.
So we also, Kenna Media.
Ah, fantastic. Shout out Kenna Media. Boomtown.
DNA Architects.
Oh, that's Sylvester.
Yeah, Sylvester.
Right? Thank you, Sylvester. Yeah, choking
them. Yeah, you know, so those are the guys who are like, Joe, we see you.
Yeah,
we see you. We know how hard it is because we are black and we had to deal with a lot of what you guys are going through
right now. Yeah,
here's a brief. How can we help? Let's do this. Let's do that.
That's
you
fantastic.
Know. So we're getting a lot of support from black businesses. Yeah. You know, and like now there's like your IDC who are like saying, hey, we see what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
How can we get involved? There's a lot of people who are like, okay, we see you.
Yeah.
And obviously that's good for growth. You
that's
know?
Dope shit, man. Yeah. Fuck. You know, it sounds George, like you are in the middle of a really really dope journey, and that's actually come a long way. So here's what we're gonna do.
Yeah.
I have to play an ad at some point.
Cool.
You know, because you know. The bills, Papa, the bills. Come on, you know what about the bills, bills, bills. So I'm going to pay the bills for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then when we come back, we're going to chat about, you know, you spoke about how, you know, you came from advertising and everything.
Yeah.
I want to take a step back and chat about that a little bit.
Okay,
you know,
cool.
What made you go, hey, man, enough? You know what I mean? And how you got to here. But yeah, it's your boy, G-Man the Admaster, hanging out with Gorgeous George, as some of you might know him. But yeah, send me your comments on Facebook and on Twitter. That's at BLAXEM for George, and let's have a chat. But let me see you on the other side of this. Boom.
So T, do you know that we host Motoring's biggest power hour?
Yes, I do.
And do you know that it's not just a show about cars, but it's a show that covers a host of relevant motoring topics?
Yes, I do.
And do you know that there are over 1 billion cars currently in use on Earth, and that the new car smell is composed of over 50 volatile organic compounds?
No.
Make sure you're up to speed with all things motoring by tuning into Auto Central every Monday morning at 9 a.m. just after the Gareth Cliff Show, or download the podcast on autotrader.co.za. Auto Central, motoring's biggest power hour, powered by Auto Trader.
Yeah, what's up? What's up? We're back. It's still your man, G-Man the Ad Man. I'm still hanging out with Gorgeous George Macheke, and we're having a fantastic chat about pretty much everything. Which also happens to be part of a hashtag that he has been instrumental in growing. The hashtag, we're coming for everything. It makes people all kinds of nervous. I know that. Before we go back into, like, you know,
yeah,
you know, where what you've been up to,
yeah,
and all that, talk to me about we're coming for everything. You know, I think that, you know, it stirs stuff up in people every time they see it, and every time it happens to find itself tagged onto the things where people are irritated or enraged by something.
Yeah.
In as much as it's tagged onto things where people are going, now that's achievement.
Yeah.
Now that is us taking another step, yeah, towards the greatness that we think we deserve.
Yeah.
But what does it mean to you, and how did it come about? How did we get this greatness?
Firstly, I don't like the word black excellence.
Dope. Okay.
Because I'm excellent whether I'm black or not.
Got you.
You know.
Hey, that's that shit. Yeah. That's that shit. Yeah.
Yeah. So I yeah, like, we came up with it, me and Banele Reo.
Shout out Banele Reo. What's going on?
So we came up with it, and we're like, we're coming for everything makes sense to us, you know, because we are coming for everything.
Yeah.
Know? We, like, if you know the history of this country, you know that we are not allowed to own land.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to earn more than a white person.
That's right.
We're not allowed to, these were laws.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to be in an area where your ID doesn't say you need to be.
Yeah.
So all of those things, we use it to celebrate black people who are doing great.
Yeah.
And I get that, that's the essence of it, why we created it,
yeah,
to say that we are excellent whether we are black or not.
That's what's
and
up.
We understand our market, we are smart. We're not looking for tenders, we're not looking for handouts.
Yeah.
We are good at what we do.
We're not looking for some backdoor anything. Yeah.
We just want an opportunity to do what we do great, you know?
Yeah.
And most of the time, like, even that hashtag open up the industry, the industries are blocked, are locked, you know.
Yeah.
And as a black person, even in corporate, you feel that there's a ceiling.
Yeah.
You can only get this far.
That's exactly right.
We woke up and you're like, boy, enough of it. We 80% of this country.
Yeah.
We know our market. We know what we want, how we want it,
yeah,
and the language. Why don't we create brands that make sense to us instead of trying to force ourselves in a lifestyle that we don't feel that we belong?
That's right. It was designed to not make us feel comfortable.
It was not designed for us.
Yeah.
Therefore, why don't we design our own thing? So even, like, when I say we're coming for everything, I mean it. Like, I want a bank.
Yeah.
I want to build a car.
That's what's up.
I want to build schools, universities. I want it all. If I can do it, damn, I want it all.
That's right.
And I'm not even gonna try to mince my word or be apologetic that I want it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want it, and I want my child to understand, like, my language, Tsonga, you know, to be taught in that language.
Yeah.
I don't want them to be taught in English or Afrikaans. I don't want that to be their first language.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
I want them to understand the history of our people.
Yeah.
Not to be taught about Jan van Riebeck. What is that going to do for them?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's amazing. I actually read a thing the other day that it almost feels, it's just so stupid that it feels like we all think that that's when our history started.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like for some reason, for some reason, you know, people think that you know, history started when that guy landed in his Lambo at the corner of Cape Town, in Kempsey.
No,
you know what I mean? It's like you know what I mean. So that dude, I think that's an important conversation, and I've seen you were telling me off air, you know, like how many people are having the conversation about we're coming for everything, and how it's like essentially just like it's growing.
Like it gives me goosebumps just to think about it, because we started about 3 months ago, and obviously we not necessarily had a plan. We're just doing our thing, me and him. And like when you check on Facebook, about over 100,000 people are talking about we coming for everything. That's a huge number.
That is insane, bro. That's a crazy number.
That's a huge number. So it means that like the term we coming for everything, as a black person, you don't need to explain it to them. They know it evokes some sort of emotion, and they understand where that comes from, because we have been denied so long for a lot of things.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And some of it is psychological. Like it's huge.
Yeah.
So when they see us coming for everything, there's kids in the township who look at us and like, if they can do it, so can I.
That's exactly it.
You know what I mean. So there's a lot of people that are not in a position to say that we are coming for
everything,
because they're scared of losing their jobs or whatever the case might, or not getting a bonus, which makes sense because they have to support their family.
Yeah.
But we, on the other hand, we are in a position where we can say those things, and because we're building something that is greater than us.
So to have the bold conversations. In fact, that's the other thing we're talking about off air, that you know, that you're talking about how it's actually become pervasive in other industries as well. So we think that, you know, we're going through all these things in advertising and we're the only industry where everyone is going out there going freelance, everyone's going, I'm gonna start my own shit because fuck it, I'm done with the system. How does it, I mean, you're telling me other industries as well are going through shit?
So I've been approached, like I speak at the Henley Business School.
Hey, you are coming for everything. Henley Business School, boy.
Well, I ended up there because I was looking for ways of starting a bank. So
that's
I'm
right.
still looking for ways of starting a bank.
And this guy's going to be a problem, guys.
So that's where I ended. So there's a bank seater program that they're doing there. Mm. So I started speaking there of how we look at money and how, like, I open up my talks with the next big bank is going to be a small bank.
That's right.
That bank is going to be my bank.
Yeah, that's right. Also because, you know, small banks like VBS have shown us the power of what a small bank can be.
Yes, you know what I mean? So that's a banking sector.
Yeah.
So I was speaking to bankers and they were like open and they're like, oh my God, what you're saying is true, because the packages and the things that we're designing are not meant for you.
That's right.
But how can you help us design things that are
specifically to a certain
So there's programs that I'm working with where we're working on packages for banking, and let's see how it goes.
There's
law firms who approach me and they say like, Bona, we can't retain talent and mostly black talent, how we think when we're doing all the right thing. And I'm like, no, you're not doing the right thing. Corporate is not meant for black people. Even worse, it's even worse to black women. And these are the reasons. And they're like, oh, we didn't even know. So there's like all these industries where I speak, it's not even advertising. It's corporate, where they're like, we're trying to understand, but we don't understand. What are we doing wrong? And you speak at them and you're like, boy, this is what's happening, this is what your PA is not gonna tell you, this is what your tea lady is not gonna tell you. And this is what's happening. There's a huge movement that's brewing. Mm. And if you don't act now, there's going to come a point where it blows. And when it blows, it's going to blow in your face.
Yeah.
Because we've seen the symptoms. When we had that thing in Pretoria with the hair.
Those are the symptoms. That's it. Yeah.
Peas must fall. Those are the symptoms. So they see it, but they don't know how to approach it.
Yeah.
And also, there aren't a lot of people who are brave enough to say, this is... Can we have a conversation? Not say that you're wrong or I'm wrong. Can we have that difficult conversation?
Sure.
Where we admit this and you admit that, and we're like, how do we fix it moving forward? You know.
Yeah. No, George. I'm inspired as fuck. You know, as you speak, I'm getting goosebumps about how all these are conversations that we all know about, you know, and to think that it's all that essentially the struggle that almost us advertising people keep talking about is actually happening everywhere.
It's happening everywhere,
and in fact, this is probably, you know, the beginning. We're at the cusp of this thing that's about to, you know, become a big deal. But I want to chat about, you know, just, you know, this guy that's here in front of me talking all this amazing stuff, all this stuff about building banks and shit, about running law, or about changing law firms and shit. This guy was also, you know, at some point, you know, sitting behind a Mac somewhere
as an assistant director.
You were at Jupiter with Napster and them. Yeah. And shout out to Napster. Yeah, what's going on, D-Napster?
I started at Hunter Scars.
Oh, right.
For my first 2 years. And like I worked with the greats there, your Lapise, Festas.
Yeah. Shout out, Matias.
Sandy David.
Yeah.
Ferreira. All of them. And obviously that was the basis of my design, like everything I know of advertising. Mm. Then moved to Metropolitan Republic.
Right.
Obviously, yeah, when Metro started.
That's right.
Yeah, we were based in Jupiter.
Yeah.
Then I realized that I love magazines, I love telling a story.
Yeah.
And I love design and what's or not. What am I doing here? And
that's
also
right.
Like I was frustrated with advertising because like it was such a culture shock. Like it was, I had to ask for my weekend.
Yeah.
And you're like, guys, I need to lie about a funeral so that I have a weekend. I'm like, nah, fam, no.
What is this? And some people still think that shit is currency.
No.
People still think that when you say, yeah, I slept at the agency this weekend, is a nice thing. It's not a nice thing. Go home.
So I was like, no, this shit is not me. You know what I mean? Because I've got a sibling that I need to take to school.
Exactly.
And like earning 5,000 rand is not going to take me anywhere.
This is it.
You know what I mean? So I was like, I'm gone. I'm going to pursue my dreams. I did Y Magazine.
So you left advertising and went straight to Y Mag?
Yeah, I went straight to, it was funny how I got the job. It was just so casual. Like, hey, we're looking for a designer. I'm like, oh, I'm here. It was on a holiday in December.
That's right.
Yeah, so I'm here. I'm like, okay, cool.
Who was the editor at Y at the time? I know they've been through a few.
Yeah, Vuyo. I was with Vuyo in Cape Town. Like, hey, we're looking for what? I'm like, hey, I'm here.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool. Let's talk in Jan. And I did that. And obviously, I went through I did other magazine and ended up in corporate where I understood how corporate works. Then eventually, like the last 2 years, and I was like, you know what? Let me just do this thing full time.
Yeah.
Because you, like, if you're chasing your dream, there's no way you can do it with one foot in, one foot out. Like, this thing is everyday thing. You wake up thinking about it, you sleep thinking about it.
Yeah.
And there's so too many fires in one day just to put out. you have to do it full time.
Yeah.
Like it's
like, crazy.
It is crazy.
Dude, I just got a tweet which I actually think, I just got a tweet from Bryony Fickling, and she says, listening to the show thinking that advertising people should take on more national challenges to solve. Because I think it comes from the fact that it feels like, you know, you start off in this place of ideas and all that, and it feels like advertising people should be doing more to be solving the real issues that we're all dealing with, you know, as opposed to just making print ads and TV adverts. We have the capacity and minds to go out there and be changing what we think is wrong about the country.
Yeah, because here's the thing: we own media platforms.
Yeah,
like, and it's not by mistake.
Yeah,
it's a magazine, so we say what goes in there.
Yeah,
we know you're not gonna tell us what to say on our magazine.
That's
so
right.
We have an agenda, and our agenda is to say to our audience, which mostly is black, to say that you are doing well, or we are doing well, or if there's this issue of abuse, this is where it comes from.
That's right.
And how do we solve it?
That's it.
You know what I mean? We're not those publications where we say, look at Zuma, he's doing what.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're not going to say, look at another black person who's doing terrible. You guys are not good to run the country.
Yeah.
We are good to run the country.
Yeah.
You know,
but we need to find the root of this problem.
You need to find the root of this problem and say, okay,
this is how we find ourselves here.
Yeah. The problem of you being like this is because maybe you did not have a father, and you not having a father resulted to 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
And this is how maybe we can solve it so that you can change your character.
That's right.
Or you change all of that.
Which coincidentally is exactly what strategists do. In every agency. Strategists sit around and they try to find the root problem, the root of the problem, and what is the other way that, unlike the conventional way, what is the other way that we can solve it? So I think that makes perfect sense. I think that we should all start to get involved in more of the bigger national conversations, or the real conversations that are happening out there, that in order to actually get them solved.
But the thing is, it becomes a problem when the person who makes the decision is...
that's not willing to move.
Yeah, it's not their agenda.
Yeah. No, we know that.
And it's not even like a black and white thing, because I've seen black companies where people are frustrated because the person who makes the decisions doesn't see the vision.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you need to... That's what we are. We sit down, my partner and I, we like, what are we going to do? Is this a good ad to put out? Is this a good content to put out?
Yeah.
If it's good, if it's risky, we'll discuss it as well. Like, this is a risk. We're going to get some backlash. Are you ready? You know? But the thing is, it stops with us because we know those conversations are important, especially the difficult ones. The nice ones we can have, nice conversations.
Oh, those are easy. Those are easy. Ones, yeah.
But to say that you've hurt me in this way.
Yeah.
It's a whole other thing. So we need to have those conversations hard.
So talk to me about collaborations. I mean, I also know that a lot of the content that you have on Marvin. Yeah. I mean, I still owe you.
You owe me an article.
Yeah, I know. It's in the machine.
Yeah.
But how you obviously curate the stuff that you get from a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
How do you choose the people that you get stuff from? Is it the kind of thing that somebody out there who feels like they have an interesting perspective or a real perspective on a certain topic can just email you? Is it what's the arrangement?
Like we get a lot of content, you know. There was this specific article that we got, and this guy, like, I think it was after a breakup or something like that.
Yeah.
Where he was just bashing this girl, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I can't put this thing up.
Yeah.
I understand you. Yeah,
you're going through things.
Yeah, but I can't put that up. Like, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. You're not coming up with the solution. You're just saying this girl is a bitch, and I'm like, I can't do that.
I hear you.
You know, so
that's part of the editorial process.
That's part of I can't put up something that says that black people are useless.
Yeah.
Or black people are dumb, or they need to be led by another race. I can't put that up. You know,
because that's just irresponsible.
Yeah, that's just very irresponsible as a media owner.
Yeah.
And as me, because I don't believe that.
Yeah.
You know? But like, if that guy came to me, he's like, Joe, this girl hurt me. I was vulnerable enough to give her my heart, and she did. She lied. She what? I don't know what to do. I'm hurt. I'm going through the most right now.
Yeah.
That article you can put up because we all go through that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Then even that girl, maybe she reads it and she gets another perspective on what happened or what she has done as well. Then that's a conversation.
I hear you.
But yeah, you can't just...
Be sending things out there. Because it feels to me like what you're saying is, you know, it needs to feel like it leads us... It takes us a step further than somewhere.
We can't just do things just because it's a Thursday afternoon.
I can't just send you a report on yesterday's game.
No.
Because then what have we done? We've just taken ourselves a step back and back into our pain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And maybe what we need is we actually need a way to find solutions that take us forward.
Yeah, because the thing is we always open for collaborations.
Yeah.
But the collaboration needs to be building.
Yeah.
There needs to be an objective of why we're doing this thing.
That's right.
We are open to a lot of brands. It doesn't matter black or white, you know. It's always easier the black brands are always coming to us, you know.
That's also a very interesting conversation, though. Like what's a black brand and what's a white brand?
You know what I'm saying? Let's say power.
I hear you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those who say that we see what you're trying to do. Not everybody see what you're doing, but we see the vision because we understand you're talking to us.
Got you. You know what I mean?
When you read an article on Marvin, you're like, damn, these boys, like they see the future.
That's right.
Where there's a brand who like, it's another website that does things.
Yeah,
here, you know. So we open to a lot of brands that we can collaborate and push content and have difficult conversations.
Yeah.
Whether we have to speak, whether we speak at Marvin's conversation or Marvin's room, it doesn't matter. As long as we move forward as a nation, as long as you, when you leave a Marvin's event or website, you feel like, okay, I've learned something.
There was something
that I didn't know.
That now I know. I have a better understanding of.
Now I have a better understanding. Whether it comes from a white person who says, this is how I see it.
Yeah.
And this is how I've experienced it because I just woke up and this is what I woke up to.
That's right.
I was not aware that I was part of this patriarchism or this lifestyle, you know.
Or this model.
That I was just born into. I don't know what my parents did or my forefathers did.
Yeah.
But this is who I am. This is my story.
Yeah.
Then let's have that conversation. You know?
I like that. You know, I feel like there seems to be... we keep going back to the importance of kind of knowing where you come from.
We have to.
And it feels to me that, you know, a lot of the time where we falter is exactly there. It's kind of we're so and I you actually cannot blame a lot of us because we're so focused on trying to fix what's the present and in order to make a better future that we don't realize that a lot of the solutions are actually going
to
come from us looking back and going, okay, look,
how are we gonna
change the way our parents did things in order for us to not make the same mistakes and not end up in the same holes. You know what I mean?
You have to, because we have to engage. That's the biggest thing. You know? And we storytellers, even what we do on TV.
Yeah, storytelling.
We storytelling, and the reason why people relate to our stories is because it's real. Like, I was overwhelmed about how people responded to my documentary. That's firstly, Nje, by the fact that I have a documentary.
I mean, get out of here, guys. I mean, what do you want? What do you want from this guy? This guy has a documentary an hour.
Like, it's longer than Generation, guys.
Get out of here,
you know. And people were like, I feel like I can relate to you. I know your story. I know where you come from, because I talk about losing everything and starting from scratch.
Yeah.
Which is real, you know?
Yeah.
And when you capture that audience, you need to be very careful what you feed them as well.
That's right.
You know, you can't be telling them stuff that is not going to feed them or is not going to inspire them.
Sure.
You know, so you need to be very careful what you say and how you say it, because it's very important.
I do particularly enjoy the running theme of also saying shit exactly the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, the unsanitized way of saying things, like the fact that, hey man, I come from a point where I actually also lost everything
and had to
build everything up, because to your point, there are some things that people just think are just going to be the glamour.
You know what I mean?
It's just what I see from afar is I see the Marvin t-shirts and I'm like, oh man, you know, this is a fun.
Like last year, Joe, like, I went through the most.
Yeah.
Like, lost my grandmother 5 months later, lost my mother 5 months later, broke up with my girl 5 months later, lost another grandma. Like, hit after hit after hit after hit.
Okay, that's next level.
And the thing is, then you're still there and there's this dream that keeps on saying, I want attention.
Yeah.
And you have to be like, okay, cool, like, let's sort this dream out. And people don't talk about those things because during that period, the only thing that saved me was Marvin.
That's what's up.
Marvin kept on, like, you know, there'd be days where, like, you forget about meetings, people call you, and like, you go there anyway, you're like, oh, what up, what do you want?
Yeah.
And they're, like, excited, like, oh, this is what you want to do. And it just brings you up. So we need to be as honest as possible. Have those conversations that are uncomfortable.
Dude. Right? Dude, that is insane.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. I think Kenneth I'm sure he's heard me about getting another hour on the show, because the hour's up.
Yeah.
You know, you won't believe how quickly this shit flies through, you know? But I mean, fuck. George, I think there's so much that a lot of people can glean from the shit that you say, the shit that you've done.
Yeah.
And just your approach to this entire thing, man.
Yeah.
You know, like I get the sense that this big, it's possible approach.
Yeah.
The whole, there's a very big no fear approach to it as well.
Yeah.
You know, but no fear, obviously, within reason, because you have to understand what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah, no, definitely.
You're getting yourself into not an easy path. That's why not everyone is doing it.
Yeah,
but I think that if there's anything, if there's one thing that you would like one guy who is sitting out there thinking that they are capable of bigger dreams, if there's one thing that you want them to take away from this interview, what would that be?
We coming for everything.
That's what's up, man. Oh, guys, that's what's up. My time is almost up, y'all. It's been an amazing hangout with George. Hit me up once again, you know. Hit me up on Twitter at BLAXEM, and let's keep the conversation going, you know. I think we've spoken about some really, really important things and some things that I know that I'm going to walk away from here still thinking about. I think that, go out there, get the podcast, listen to it again, pay it for your mom. I mean, we didn't swear a lot, you know what I mean? There was one or two drops of things, but we didn't swear a lot, so you can pay it for your moms, play it around your agency, also play it in the car, because that's how podcasts work, you know. They don't necessarily have to, because you missed the show now, you don't necessarily have to wait for a certain time. Play it in the car, play it between meetings, because there's some important shit that was dropped out here. That I think a lot of us really need to hear. It's been another amazing week, another amazing show of G-Man the Ad Man, out here on Cliff Central. Get out there and remember, like I say every single week, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. It's your man, G-Man the Ad Man. Boom.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agents. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com. Cliffcentral.com.